Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
What's going on in this country? Just about every day we turn on the news and we hear of reports about the economy and how bad it is and how many people are being laid off. We open up the newspapers and we read about one corporate scandal after another. Just a few weeks ago, the Catholic Church in Connecticut literally came under siege. The state government of Connecticut has proposed a bill to seize control of the financial assets of the Catholic Church there and appoint a board to govern the operations of the Catholic Church. Now, this is crazy. How about at home? Maybe we live under the threat of unemployment, fear of the loss of income, health insurance. Maybe we fear the loss of our mortgage and our house. Or maybe we face the challenge of caring for our loved ones who no longer can take care of themselves and are experiencing declining health. So what do people of faith do during this time of chaos in our lives and in our country? Well, I think people of faith begin to ask, how and when will God be able to help us through these tumultuous and uncertain times? What can we do to persevere during these difficult times like now, when it seems so easy to get caught up in this doom and gloom, pessimistic attitude that our news media is constantly promulgating 24 hours a day? Well, first thing we can do in search of answers to these difficult questions is to turn to sacred scripture for this weekend. In the first reading, we hear from the second book of Chronicles. Now, it's interesting to note, both First and Second Chronicles are very important books in the Old Testament because they summarize the span of salvation history and they give us a clear and distinctive message of how God intervenes throughout salvation history so as to save and protect us. In this weekend's first reading, from the second book of Chronicles, chapter 36, we are given a very nice synopsis of the Babylonian exile in just three short paragraphs. Now, the Babylonian exile was one of the most terrible times in all of the history of Israel. It was a time in which Israel was conquered by the Babylonians and taken off into slavery. Why did this happen? Was God in some sort of emotional snit that he just wanted to cast judgment upon the Israelites? No. Instead, the Israelites became conquered by the Babylonians because of their own spiritual and moral complacency. They began to worship false gods. They no longer followed the laws and the teachings that God gave them. Now, this just didn't happen overnight. Instead, it took place gradually over centuries, over hundreds and hundreds of years. The Israelites were constantly turning away from God. And how does God react to this? Does God cast judgment and destroy them? No. Instead, God sends prophet after prophet with the same message. Turn away from your evil ways, the evil ways that will be a source of your own self-destruction, and turn back to God and be saved. Over centuries, at times, the Israelites would listen and pay heed to these words. Yet most of the time, they would not listen to the prophets. Worse yet, they would mistreat the prophets. They would either beat them up or have them killed. Despite this, God continued to send prophet after prophet. Notice God's patience and perseverance with the Israelites. Why? Now, this is strange. The natural human instinct upon hearing this would be to teach them a lesson, hold those people accountable, in fact, even punish them for what they've done. Yet, that was not the way for God. That's why Paul says in the second reading, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love he has for us. My friends, if there's one thing that we can take from the scripture readings this weekend, is God's mercy for us is overwhelming and superabundant, and therefore, God will never give up on us. Consequently, he continues to send prophet after prophet. After a while, the Israelites tune out the prophets, and they no longer listen to them. And therefore, because they have rejected the prophets, they become spiritually and morally weak, so much so that they're vulnerable to be conquered. And then they are, by the Babylonians. The Babylonians take them away as slaves, and the Israelites live in Babylon as slaves for almost 50 years. Yet during this time of slavery, the Israelites see the error of their ways, and they repent and turn back to God. What does God do? He welcomes them back. In fact, he now uses the Persian Empire as an instrument of his grace to conquer the Babylonians. As we hear in the first reading, King Cyrus of Persia raises up an army and defeats the Babylonians. Then he turns to the Israelites and he tells them, "Go home, you are set free." Now you say to yourself, well, that's a very cute story, but how does that relate to me or to us during these chaotic times in our life or in this country? Well, first and foremost, what we have to understand and come to know is that during these difficult times, we must have faith. Faith gives us the promise of hope, hope in the fact that ultimately we will be rescued from whatever challenge we face. Despite the times when they might seem all but hopeless, faith is the lifeline that we grasp onto. In fact, we cling to while floating in a sea of uncertainty and despair. We cling to that lifeline because we know Jesus Christ is on the other side, pulling us in. Now, what's the worst thing that we can do? Let go. We let go of that lifeline. We let go of our faith. And in doing so, then we begin to sink into that sea of hopelessness. Then, like the Israelites, we too make ourselves weaker and more susceptible to temptation. When that happens, then we too can be easily conquered by our fears and by our sin. And once we cave in to the fears of this world, then yes, we will begin to feel a sense of hopelessness. We won't be able to weather the storm now or in the future. Worse yet, we'll begin to blame God for all the problems in our life and in our country. And yet, God didn't cause any of these problems. What we have to understand is the problems that we face right now in our country are problems that are due to individuals' greed, negligence, corruption, and poor moral judgment. And yet, we cannot allow the events of our society to wear us down to the point in which we feel the sense of hopelessness, where all is lost. These events that we face now in our life and in our country are life-draining. They, in some ways, draw the life, the spirit out from us. And you see, that is why faith is so, so vital, now more than ever. Paul writes about this in the second reading, in which he says, "Because of God's great love for us, even though we were dead in our transgressions, God brought us to life with Christ." My friends, our God is a God of life, not of the dead. Therefore, with life in Christ, we always have the promise of hope. From our faith, we now have a union of life with Christ. And from that union of life, God gives us the hope and the reassurance that we can weather any storm that comes into our life or even into this country, because with Christ, we can never, ever be defeated. In the gospel, Jesus picks up on this, and he says, "God so loved the world that he sent his only Son so that those who believe in him might be saved and have eternal life." God is the source of all life, and that's why he sends his only Son into this world so that we might have life and life in abundance. From the union of life that we now share with Christ, we are reassured that as long as Christ is in our life, we can face down and persevere and overcome any obstacles or problems that we may face in our life, now or in the coming months ahead. This union of life that we have with Christ now sustains us and is the source of life in our faith. Our faith, our union of life with Christ, now becomes the lifeline in waters of chaos that we are floating in right now. All we have to do is hold on to that lifeline. With ourselves on one end and Jesus Christ on the other end, it is Christ who will pull us through any type of uncertainty, pull us through any type of challenge or chaos that we may be facing right now or in the coming months ahead. Better yet, this union of life that we have with Christ, our faith lives, now give us a sense of identity. Paul writes about this as he concludes his work from the second reading. He says, "For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Each and every one of us is the handiwork of God, the handiwork of a union of discipleship with Christ. No one, and I mean no one, is here by mistake. Everyone has been intentionally and meticulously created by God, motivated by love, for the express purpose for us to live a life in union with Christ. My friends, that's the reason why our Catholic Church places the greatest and highest value in human life. That's why our Catholic Church holds so strongly to and will never ever compromise or undermine any of the issues of life, whether they are stem cell research, abortion, euthanasia, the rights of the handicapped or the elderly. Our God is a God of life, and therefore all human life in this world is a direct reflection and manifestation of God's love for each and every one of us. Therefore, it is that great gift, our human life, that now God passes on to us and shares with us through faith. What must we do? Cherish our lives. Cherish the human life as our greatest possession. Forget about the houses or the cars or the bank accounts. The human life is our greatest possession in this world. My friends, it is our life, our union with Christ, that is the source of our faith. And with a strong faith, then yes, we will persevere and overcome any of the challenges that we face now and in the coming months ahead, as individuals, as well as citizens of the United States of America. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.